Greetings, friends. In this reflection, we will explore the mystery of the tiny seed. And to do this, we will begin with two of the parables that Jesus told about the mustard seed. The first parable is told in Matthew 13, verse 31 to 32. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The second parable is Matthew 17, verse 20 to 21. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. Now, a capitalistic way of telling this second parable, and the way I used to think about it, would be to say, well, if you could move a mountain with just a mustard seed of faith, imagine what you could do with faith the size of a pumpkin seed. And the implication being that one should strive for bigger, better, stronger faith. But I think it's important that the image Jesus used is of the smallest of all seeds. That's such an interesting phrase, the smallest of all seeds. Seems that it is precisely the tiny nature of the mustard seed that holds the tremendous possibility of emergence. And this reminds me of the little way of Saint Therese of Lisieux, who wrote, "Holiness does not consist in this or that practice, but in a disposition of heart, which remains always humble and little in God's arms, but trusting to audacity in the Father's goodness." And there's a fascinating discontinuity or inversion between the tininess of the seed and the immense possibility of what can emerge as the tree with branches that birds can make their home in. And this possibility is released when the seed is buried, resting in the quiet, dark immensity of the ground of being. If it remains as a single seed without being lost and buried, it dries out, becoming desiccated and hollow, and never germinates into the fullness of life that is held in its essence. Now, it's fascinating how often we see this kind of inversion in Jesus' teachings. And so here are just a few examples. In his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And the image he used of a camel going through the eye of a needle, and the need to become like little children to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus used sayings like, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now, I could go on and on with examples, because this inversion was so central to his teaching. And we also see this inversion throughout the Bible. For example, in Mary's prayer, "The Lord has been mindful of the humble state of the servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." And she went on to pray, "The Lord has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Adonai has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." There's also the seeming contradiction in the Isaiah 30 verse 15 description, that in quietness and trust is your strength. And another story that speaks of this inversion is the poor widow with her two small coins, who Jesus described as putting more into the treasury than the wealthy people with their bags of money, because she gave out of her poverty, giving everything she had. And what is fascinating is that her story has reverberated through the centuries, much more than those wealthy people who were giving much more money than her. precisely because of her self-giving from her littleness. And so this image of the mustard seed invites us to let go of our pomp and grandiosity and return to the humble simplicity of a tiny seed in the hands of the God of life. Another temptation in our Western mindset is to become small so that one will one day be discovered. One day they'll see how great we are. Cinderella's in the making. Many of our fairy tales are around that sort of theme. But this is to miss the point. The tiny mustard seed shows us that it's not about trying to become somebody at all, even down the line. Because becoming somebody is such a trap. It is consuming and causes an immense amount of heaviness and distress. Rather, the invitation involves letting go completely of our self-importance as somebody and discovering the scary, delicious freedom of becoming nobody. Last year, when we were on a rough camping trip in the wilderness areas of Namaqualand, with its beautiful flowers that pop up out of the nothingness of the dry ground, I had a strong sense of an inner invitation to let go of my self-oriented storylines and become nobody. And this invitation came with a raw beauty and exhilarating openness, mirroring the harsh yet beautiful open terrain that we were driving through. A few days into this trip, I received an email from the publisher of my book saying that they're struggling to market my book in the US and UK markets because I'm unknown there, literally nobody. And they wanted me to find ways of marketing myself as a spiritual teacher. And this request caused me an immense amount of distress. And what struck me was the contrast between the open freedom of the invitation to become nobody and the weight of the distress caused by trying to think of ways of becoming somebody of spiritual significance. And I'm still struggling with this one. I don't want to let the publishers down. And I do want to share with others the richness of the gifts I received that I describe in this book. But as soon as I strategize about self-marketing, I can feel the oppressive mind speak pulling me into a prison of self again. The heavy weight of being a spiritual somebody. And so this invitation of the mustard seed has felt like a really important and breathtakingly freeing call during this time. The call of littleness and surrender. Now, if we consider the process that the seed goes through in becoming a tree, it does not burst into life through willpower, but through being buried in the dark unknowing of the ground, seemingly lost. So much of the deeper spiritual journey is about being seemingly lost, entrusting ourselves to the vast, silent holding of the ground. It is here that we germinate unseen through the mysterious power of life, of the divine life giver. Another process in the germination of the seed is the breaking of the shell. The medieval German mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "Everything is meant to be lost, that the soul may stand in unhampered nothingness." Everything is meant to be lost, that the soul may stand in unhampered nothingness. The shell must be cracked apart if what is in it is to come out. For if you want the kernel, you must break the shell. And the writer Cynthia Ocelli wrote, For a seed to achieve its greatest expression, it must come completely undone. The shell cracks, its insides come out, and everything changes. To someone who doesn't understand growth, it would look like complete destruction. And so this whole image of a seed being buried in the ground and coming completely undone so that it can germinate into new growth is a very powerful analogy of inner transformation. And I found that on this contemplative journey, in the lostness and distress that I invariably experience at various points, I've been brought back to this image of the tiny seed being stripped of everything that is known and familiar. And to all that it is a tiny naked seed being buried in the dark unknowing of the ground, seemingly lost and hidden, and being unraveled so that germination can take place. This is the only way in which life can emerge from the seed, and for the seed to achieve its greatest expression. What this image of the seed so graphically illustrates is that our undoing, our moments of greatest lostness, failure, suffering, humiliation, or despair, can be the most important and transformative moments in our inner journey of awakening. In the coming undone, all of our roles and sense of self become unraveled. Even our imagining of how incredibly tiny we can become, that can so quickly become another storyline, and needs to be unraveled too. Then the seed gives way to the mysterious process of life, to what cannot be controlled, imagined, or foreseen, a total giving way to the unfolding of life. Without the unraveling of the seed shell, no emergence of life can take place. In her book on the Enneagram, Sandra Maitrey describes that the ultimate vanity is to try to take God's place in creating ourselves and our lives in accordance with our own inner dictates. She writes that if we try to create ourselves in this way, the personality, the outer surface of who we are, becomes central. The shell, the husk of ourselves, is all that remains, with all of the emptiness at the core that this image conjures up. And it is this shell that feels primary. And this ultimately leads to the hollowness that we see in so many self-made, successful people. And so this unraveling process of the separate self shell is vital to the emergence of a rich and flourishing life. But this cannot be on our terms, and we cannot rush it according to our own schedule. The heart attitude is one of patient surrender and waiting. And Sue Monk Kidd, in her beautiful book titled When the Heart Waits, wrote, "The fullness of one's soul evolves slowly. We're asked to go within to gestate the newness God is trying to form. Grace needs an arena in which to incarnate. Waiting can be such a place if we allow it." And in his book, New Seeds of Contemplation, Thomas Merton wrote, "There is no human and rational way in which I can discover who I am in God. That is something that no human can ever do alone. The only one who can teach me to find God is God, alone. Choose loving consent to the purely gratuitous mercy of God. Give me the strength that waits upon you in silence and peace." To come to the final point I want to make, this image also speaks to us of not underestimating the tiniest seed that we plant in other people's lives. We cannot control or imagine what could come from the tiniest act of service or kindness. All we can do is offer it freely, without grand agendas or expectations of return. This is not about grandiose gestures or finding solutions to other people's problems, because too often these are born from ego consciousness and a subtle condescension towards others. Rather, it's the call to collaborate with grace in compassionately serving one another and our environment with an attitude of faithful simplicity, entrusting those seeds that we plant to the divine life giver. The attitude that we bring to our serving is so important. As Jesus said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, because it's not about building our brand. That is literally a term that is going around at the moment on social media. It's not about that, not about being seen to be giving. It's also not about doing our duty through gritted teeth or fobbing somebody off like a pesky fly with our little giveaways. Rather, it's a simple and humble offering of sincere and heartful kindness, giving of our all in the moment, bringing our whole presence into the giving in that moment. Choosing to be faithful in all of these small ways of self-giving. In this way, we do move mountains by becoming one with the timeless love that shapes landscapes through the collaborative flowing movement of particles of wind and water. I want to end with a prayer that's based on a journal entry I wrote when I was praying with this image. Beloved our God, ground and essence of our being, may we be gathered into the stillness and humility of the tiny seed, the singularity of the divine that is still and small in the depths of our being. As we give ourselves over to you in the silence, may we become one with eternity, with the life and love that animates the stars. Then we will move mountains, becoming one with the timeless forces that shape landscapes through the power of the wind and the elements. We thank you, our life-giving God, for the spark of life that brings all of this into existence through the tiny seed of life that is our essence. May we come to know you as our essence, that we may move in effortless surrender and collaborative grace with the one life. Amen.